Hi, I'm Kate Hudson.
And my name is Oliver Hudson.
We wanted to do something that highlighted our relationship.
And what it's like to be siblings.
We are a sibling revelry.
No, no.
Sibling revelry.
Don't do that with your mouth.
Sibling revelry.
That's good. Oliver.
Yeah, we're sitting in, we're together. This is the second time since COVID that we've done a podcast together.
We're back. We're in Colorado.
Yeah. Sipping on Coors Light.
Sipping on Coors and juice.
Sipping on Coors and juice.
You know what? I actually brought a Coors Light. I should put it on right now, actually. It's funny. It's an old vintage Coors Light tank top.
Amazing.
That I got a long time ago. They should bring back their retro gear.
They have. But oh. You say tank top, you know, I've been buying tank tops.
Ugh. So it's like, I don't even, it's
I know,
like my
they're
least
great.
Favorite
I have,
thing you've ever done.
I, have
like, I can
six
handle the
tank
kicks.
Tops.
I can handle the kicks. The tank tops,
no, but it's,
they
it's,
make me throw up a little
thing.
Bit in my mouth.
It's part of the whole thing. It's shoes and tank tops. I think I look cool.
I think the tank top thing isn't really for you.
It is though.
You know, remember Dax used to wear it. He's a tank top guy.
I know. And look
tank
at how successful
and,
he is.
And headbands.
Yeah. So
he loved his tank top.
He still wears tank tops.
Yeah, well, it's his thing.
Well, it's my thing now, too.
Dax, you hear that? Ollie's coming for you.
You
just need some headbands.
You know, but I got to say that I have been, I've been in a bit of a style shift.
Oh, God. Is this really what this episode's going to be about?
Well,
your style shift?
No, because I'm finding my identity, I think. My style identity, and it started with shoes. My obsession, you know, has been growing and growing, and then I work from the ground up fashion with Oliver Hudson.
By the way, great segment. We should start with the shoe, and then you put the outfit together.
Yeah,
that's
what's been happening.
That
and
would
I'm
be
developing a style, and the tank top has sort of, you know, worked itself into my repertoire.
Right,
it's nice. I like it. I like where I'm going. It makes me feel good. There's a bit of offbeat vibe to my new style,
mm-hmm.
you know? But then I'll mix in some traditional.
I mean, I appreciate that you're enjoying this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's
good. That's good for you.
Thanks.
That's nice.
Thanks.
So let's change the subject. So we're in Aspen. We are not in California right now. You know, we were lucky enough to come up here. You know, I just want to send a lot of love out to all the firefighters and all the people who are being, you know, that are just devastated by these fires that are in the center of it, because it's pretty brutal.
It's crazy.
We know what that feels like, and it's scary. So
we also did a photo shoot, though. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. Well, we can't tell what it is, but we did. We did a photo shoot up here.
I'm a cover model.
Yeah, Oliver was, you know, you were hurting through the shoot. You know, you were very hungover.
I know.
I came over to wake you up and I was like,
yeah.
And you had this sort of like glassy
eye. Yeah, I didn't feel
good.
Been
out too late.
Well, I played in a golf tournament and I drank in the day. I drank 2 days.
Oh,
jeez. And then it just sort of ruined me. I'm discovering I'm 44 now and I can't put it down like I used to. It just hurts too much.
Yeah, but you still do.
I fight it. I fight through it.
It's like you're holding on for dear life.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You know what I think would be fun? We haven't done one of these in a while where it's just the two of us.
Yeah, I know.
But we should start with an email because we haven't read an email. And, you know, we love our submissions. We love when people write in. And
what?
Some...
You love being submissive?
Oliver,
gross.
That's disgusting.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, so the submissions are great. All right, Ollie, go for it.
Here we go. My name is Allison. Allison,
like our producer.
My name's Allison. I'm 17 years old and just came upon your podcast a couple of weeks ago and have listened to every episode since. In the episode where you read fans' emails, I completely related to the woman's submission that talked about grieving her bipolar sister as she's still alive. It seemed like a God moment because the reason why I really fell in love with this podcast is because I'm going through the exact same thing. My dream since I was a little girl was to become a mom. And being in the midst of heartache with my only sister and frustration with God had me start to lose hope of how great siblings could be or that I wouldn't do the right things to let them have a special bond. Hearing y'all speak about your relationship gives me hope that I can still have a close family, even if mine right now seems to be breaking. It's hard to find positive podcasts that still make you think, but this one hits the spot. I love hearing your psychological talks and also y'all just messing around with each other. It's such a bright light in my life. So I just wanted to say thank you.
That's sweet.
Allison, thank you for writing in. That means so much. It's so sweet. And we're so happy we could, I don't know, bring some kind of levity or, you know, good feelings towards such a hard situation.
It's just nice. It's nice to know that, you know, we're sitting here talking and bullshitting and, you know, half the time say stupid things and half the time are saying things that are relatable. And not only that, but it seems like Allison here actually heard another voicemail that we had read. And so there's a connection, you know, it's mm-hmm. fun. We don't have a name for our fans.
Oh my God.
Ever. I mean, what do we call them? Like revelries? Like,
our sibs? Our Sib monsters.
but it's nice to know.
Sib Nation.
It's nice to know that Sib Nation is connecting.
Oh, Sib Nation's good. It's kind of like, isn't that like Bronco Nation? Bronk mm-hmm. Nation. Isn't that all the sports teams?
There's a lot of nations.
Sib Nation.
But anyway, we'll come up with that. But it's nice to know.
It should be like the Sib lots, like the Sib ladies.
How about the siblings?
I like Sib Nation. But yeah, it is nice. It's also nice just to know that, like, I think it's important to say that as you feel, Allison, you know, writing to us, like when we hear that, we do feel like we're connecting to you and that it is a reciprocated good feeling. And it means so much to us that you're feeling good when you listen.
Well, and there's
and also, like,
it's nice
let's
to know
just
that
talk
you're not
real
the
quick.
Only one. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And
it's so easy to feel
that's
alone.
That's what I was going
to
say. I mean, yeah. You know, the other thing is we're living in a time where we know that mental illness is being exacerbated by the isolation and quarantining and people not being able to live their lives as they normally did. And so anyone who suffers from things like bipolar disorder mm-hmm. or borderline personality disorder, hell, even narcissistic personality disorder, it's be very heightened. Mm-hmm. So I think it's particularly hard for families right now that have family members like that.
I know.
So we feel you, Allison, and thank you for writing in. And
all right. Hey, Kate and Oliver.
Hey.
Just a short background story of why siblings mean everything in this world to me. Growing up, we actually had a very fun childhood. We did whatever we wanted. My mother struggled with her mental health a lot as my dad chose drugs every chance he had. Growing up, me and my sister basically raised our brothers. At one point, my brother Caden called my sister mom. It was this dramatic thing in our family. Anyways, as time went on, her mental health just kept declining. Eventually, my mother was unable to handle four kids on her own, and my dad obviously was nowhere to be found. We eventually lost our mother to suicide, which still is very hard as my brothers grow into wonderful men. And my sister is married, and me and my sister took on college. It has its days. Our family took on the role of raising us, which was really would have been unnecessary as we basically raised them on our own. My siblings are my inspiration, my drive to do better, my happiness, and most of all, my home. Our trials in life have made us wise beyond words and have brought us together like no one I know. It is great to listen to you guys, to hear about all the different trials we all face in life. A sibling bond is something rare and hard to find, as I know many who are not close. We have learned over the years to cherish each other and always have one another's back. Thank you for speaking about something many do not. I love hearing about how much you guys love each other. Hard days always test your strength, which is something we all need sometimes. You guys are great. Wishing you the best. Stay safe. Britt. Oh. That's from Britt.
I love Britt. Britt, I love you. That was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
Beautiful, made me emotional, and just says so much about how strong you are.
I know.
And
honestly,
your
makes
whole
me
family. I mean, you know. I mean,
who am I? I have no, what, who the fuck? You read this shit and you're like, I have problems? I mean, I go to therapy. I think I have fucking issues. I mean, look at the strength that Britt has and her siblings dealing with that growing up. I'm like, you know, my dad left, but I had a great step. I mean, we all have our shit, but when you read stuff like this, you realize that there's true strength and grit and togetherness and love through that shit.
I think that everybody's human experience is different, and pain and suffering is subjective, and that one person's pain can't be measured by someone else's or happiness, and but you know,
right.
vice versa.
So yeah. No, it's true.
I always refrain from ever even saying like, well, look at that person, and you know, because we're all wired so differently. And I think the thing that we can learn from someone like Britt or this email is that you can get through the hardest, but you still need the support of somebody. You know, support is huge. Like they had, and what she said, 4 siblings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they had a family, like they needed each other. You know, they had to rely on each other, and they, you know, for their, literally for their survival. And we all have that survival capacity. It's just a matter of how we tap into it.
It's a great point, because you almost don't know what your capabilities are until you're pushed to that place to survive. You know, I think about that, not to get morbid, you know, but you think about losing someone, losing a family member, losing a child, all of these things. I mean, I think naturally you sort of think about what that might feel like. And I'm like, I won't be able to survive. Like,
yeah, I mean, you say that to me all the time.
I'm like, I'm not going to make it. I won't make it. You know,
you would make it.
But you make it. There's a survival instinct, I think.
Well, I mean, you don't have to, but you do have to make a choice to move forward or not. You know, I mean, it is a, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean.
But it sounds like Britt's doing, I mean, her and her family.
I just love.
Has built major character.
Yeah. And like, she's talking about her brothers being like the most amazing, people.
But anyway, we love these submissions, by the way. They're really, you know, these were two a little more serious ones, but amazing nonetheless. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're crazy, but we love hearing them. So keep writing us. Go to siblingsubmissions@gmail.com. You know, tell us who you guys want on the podcast, share your stories, comments, whatever. Talk about how handsome you think I am. Make me feel good. We are in the Rockies.
We're in the Rockies.
We're looking out at the Rockies.
We're literally looking out at the Rockies.
We're literally looking at the Rockies. They look like the Rockies. Honestly, Sopra's, it looks like what's on the Coors Light can.
Yes, it does. Can I tell you something? You know what I did yesterday?
What?
I had a Coors. I had a Coors Light, Oliver. I had a beer in the Rockies.
Wow.
With our favorite beer, Colorado Beer Company.
I've been drinking so much Coors, it's crazy. Playing a lot of golf now. Coors Light with a big mouth can where I can twist it and just... I put it in the cooler and it's freezing cold.
The twisty guy.
This is real, you guys. This is no bullshit. I know we're reading an ad, but we live this, okay?
Oliver about my... I want them to do some new, like, retro swag because they have some great old Coors Light, Coors Company swag.
You know what we should do?
I actually have some of it.
We should partner with Coors Light. Sibling Revelry Coors Light. We'll do some apparel.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, Coors, listen to this. Anyway, there's a sweepstakes. Did you know that?
Well, this is
Coors
exciting.
Coors Light wants to give you a way to take a break from the new reality of endless video chats in 2020. So say goodbye to your video chat background and hello to that beautiful travel destination in real life.
Ooh.
And actually chill. All right, five lucky winners will get trips to the beautiful destinations they've been dreaming about going to for months.
I love this.
This is how you do it.
Okay, but what's the destination?
Well, here, let me explain this to you. To enter for a chance to win, you visit CoorsLight.com/outside during September. Here's what it is. You upload a screenshot of yourself in your ideal video chat background.
Oh my
great
God,
idea.
This is so cool.
Amazing, amazing.
Can we join the sweepstakes?
Yes, I've already entered.
I want the sweepstakes. I'm gonna put myself, you know where I want to go?
Uh-huh.
Tahiti.
Ooh.
I'd put myself like in Bora Bora somewhere. I've never been.
That sounds good. Where would I go? Bhutan.
No.
I don't want to go to Bhutan.
You wouldn't go there.
No.
I mean, yes.
Yeah,
but
that's
would be
not
great.
Really what my background. What if I did like Pacoima.
By the way, Bhutan for your Zoom background would actually be really amazing.
I just did my backyard. Howard Stern.
Oh, yeah. Take you to the studio.
Anyway, the prize package is valid through June 2022, so winners can plan their trip whenever they feel comfortable.
Wow.
Very great. Great idea.
Coors, that is so great.
So enter for a chance to win a trip to the beautiful destination of your choice. At CoorsLight.com/outside. By the way, that's where everyone needs to be. Get outside. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes begin on 8/27/20 and ends on 10/1/20. Open to legal residents of the 50 U.S./DC. 21 plus years of age. Travel must be to the destination indicated in the entry and must be completed by 6/30/22. For official rules, including how to enter, prize details, and restrictions, visit www.coorslight.com/outside. Void where prohibited. Message and data rates may apply.
I want to find out who wins and where they go.
Oh, no, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Coors, cool, keep us updated with this because we're very interested.
How great is it to be in nature with our kids?
It's the best. Well, how fun was last night?
Let's tell everybody what we did last night.
I mean, it was just a family night, but it was just fun. I mean, it's those moments, and we'll talk about it in a minute, but it's those moments where you just sort of stop for a second and look around and pay attention to what's happening. And you're like, this is cool.
Yeah.
You know, you almost have to stop and see it rather than be in it just for a split second.
Right.
And then you can appreciate it.
Be an objective observer.
I saw you do that last night.
Yeah.
All of a sudden you're like, this is just so great. We're with the family and we're like making pizzas and there's wine flowing and the kids are running around.
Well, we were making homemade pizzas.
Mm-hmm. On my big green egg.
You got all the great, like, you know, you made a pasta sauce and we had pesto and we had all the different fun spreads and we did, we had fresh mozzarella and Parmesan, fresh Parmesan.
You made a good pizza.
I made a good pizza.
It was a good pizza.
Thanks.
Yeah, we start with the kids usually, pepperoni, cheese, and then we get into the fun stuff. But it was just a great night. And
talk about it, Ollie.
Anthony Davis.
Go, Ollie.
Anthony Davis hit the motherfucking game-winning three with 0 seconds on the clock. We're talking about the Lakers, everybody. It reminded me so much of Kobe Bryant. They were wearing their Mamba jerseys. The minute he hit it, I was screaming, and I was like, Kobe! I was screaming Kobe. And of course, AD, same thing. He hit that shot, and if you watch him, he mouths, he screams. He goes, Kobe, did you see him do that?
He did. Yeah. No, I just got the chill.
Boom, hits the game winner, does a jump, looks at the bench, and you see his mouth go, Kobe. And they asked him about it after the game. And said, did you say Kobe? And he's sort of a bit bashful, and he goes, yeah, I did. Kobe was there. They were wearing the Kobe jerseys. Dude, that was an amazing
My whole body has chills right now.
Great. That on top of the pizza, it was just amazing.
Yeah, that was
and a great
honestly,
Sunday night football game. Great game.
Great game. How about the Seahawks?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's amazing.
Russell.
Russell's such a great quarterback.
Yeah. It was just a great, it was a really fun
He's also
night.
One of the nicest guys. Russell,
yeah.
You know, is just like, you know, when you meet kind of great athletes and you just hope that they're just cool. And then some of them actually
they exceed your expectations. Mm-hmm. He's one of those. He's you just so nice. But anyway,
yeah,
they had a great game.
Great night. Great sports night. Great pizza.
It was. It was a great, great night
wine,
all around.
Drinking great wine.
And you know what? It's the first time in this sort of crazy world we're living in right now with COVID and, you know, the sort of political polarization and divisiveness and people having such kind of extreme reactions to each other. It just feels like everything is so mm-hmm. anxiety ridden. I felt like last night it was like that's, you know, I wish you could bottle that feeling and give that to everyone, mm-hmm. you know, because mm-hmm. I felt free. I felt connected. Mm-hmm. I felt loved. I felt content. Mm-hmm. And,
you know, it's funny, though, is you realize how you don't have all those moments a lot, you know, because they're special. So do we have to create more? As humans?
I think you have to sometimes, even though, yes, like be in the moment, but then sometimes you have to ask yourself why you maybe, I mean, I'm not saying this. I'm not saying this like definitively. I'm saying this like maybe. Maybe sometimes you have to ask yourself why you aren't having enough of those. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a big question of mine right now. Why do we live in LA? I mean, I know why I have to live in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. but this is all of our happy places. Mm-hmm. We're just happy here. Mm-hmm. Why do we live in LA?
Well, the other thing too is we're lucky in a sense. We have a very tight family, you know? But it also reminds you to sort of try to heal divisions within your family. We had a really close friend just pass away. Tragically. And it's just horrendous and horrible the way it all happened. But it does make you stop and think for a second. You know, I know we hear this all the time and death brings that a little bit, you know, of just needing to come together or realize how special it is to be together, to have a solid family and to find love in places where it may not be anymore. You know, I mean,
Yeah.
I
love that you bring this up because I think maybe this could be helpful for a lot of people, like just being able to talk about it. Cause you can't help in moments like that. I mean, of course you grieve, but you also can't help but kind of think about how you are with your family and how fragile life is and how like it is really unknown, right? I mean, we just don't know what's going to happen. And then if there is any division inside of the family or differences of opinion mm-hmm. or, you know, there was a part of me that, you know, the sort of the surrender of like it being okay to be wrong mm-hmm. or it being okay to be vulnerable mm-hmm. with each other or it being okay that you don't have all the answers or that someone is upset with you or, you know, anything like that there's something bigger at play internally in your family, which is that you really do unconditionally love each other. I think, so one of the things that I thought about during this was acceptance. If someone in your family makes a choice that you think is not in their best interest, that you can still love them through mm-hmm. it, that you can accept that that's their life and their choice mm-hmm. and not create division. Mm-hmm. And that was something that came up with me, you know, that I thought about a lot, you know, after our friend passed away and how, because in those moments, like everything goes away. In that moment when you lose someone, you just wish you had them, no matter what mm-hmm. their differences are.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's, you look, there are some people who might be listening who have had relationships or lack of relationships with parents for very good reasons. You know, there's obviously horrendous things.
Right, right. Okay, so the forgiveness has to happen
without
connection.
Right, well, let's put that aside, right, you right. know. But it's, you know, it just doesn't matter enough. That's the thing, the little things. It's not worth having bad feelings for all those little sort of bullshit things, that disagreements and sort of, you know, not being on the same page, and there's a lot of division that can happen that really doesn't, it's not necessary, because you can just let, if you can just let it go, let things go. I mean, it's so much easier to let things go.
Okay, so I'm going to go on a limb here, because what you're saying is also
people
so
hold on too tight.
Well, I think that I think that the political landscape right now is a good example of how things can go in families, right? So for instance, bear with me on this one. Mm-hmm. It's just a theory, right?
Okay.
But like, let's just take your own interpersonal relationships in your family.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I think that happens a lot, and I hope, and I think this is relatable to a lot of families, I know it happens in our family, is one person in the family thinks they know what's in the other person's best interest,
mm-hmm.
or thinks that they know what that person needs. And the way that they communicate that to that person is not in a way that makes them, that doesn't turn it inward, meaning it becomes an act or a type of communication that the other person feels like they then need to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where people get into arguments. They feel unseen, unheard, not understood, mm-hmm. all of that, right? And then it creates more and more turmoil. And the same thing happens in politics right now. You have so many people thinking that they know the answer
mm-hmm.
to what is in everyone else's best interest. There's a lot of talking and a lot of not listening.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of bravado. There's a lot of false promises.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, I know what's best. And all you do when you create that kind of communication is create polarization and divisiveness. All you're going to do is make other people feel like you're not listening. Anyway, so all family.
Right. Okay.
So we're just like having so much fun.
And I
think it's interesting because we do come from a very politically different, like everybody has different.
Yeah.
Politics and ideas in our family, you know?
No, I'm Green Party.
Let me tell you about the Green Party I saw when I was biking down to Basalt.
Oh, that big farm.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
It's beautiful, I know. A lot of them. There's hundreds of plants.
Oh, it's so
outdoor grow right out in the open.
Outdoor pot field. It was like so cool.
I know.
And then Danny, you know, we were thinking of maybe
you could smell
starting
it
to sort of, you know, maybe get our own sort of farm up here. And Danny was like, riding back, he's like, can we grow a field? And I was like,
we were only allowed six unless you get permission.
Permit.
Yeah.
How do you get permission?
I think you have to apply for, you know, grower's permit. And I don't know.
Wouldn't it be cool to have a field in the valley?
Oh my God, it would be amazing.
So Oliver is now, he was sort of like, yeah, right, you're not going to get a house. And now I have a feeling he's going to make me get the house so that we can grow
own weed. Kate, when Kate's in Colorado, it's like, where are you going? She's in the car like, we're going to look at houses like every day. I mean,
I love looking at houses.
Every house in this valley for maybe 6 years. And I'm like, Kate, I dare you to pull the trigger.
I'm challenging you to pull the trigger. If I wasn't busy with all the things that I do, I would flip houses.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finding like property that kind of, I also like finding little diamonds that people aren't really seeing.
Well, let's just do a wrap up.
Okay.
Well, that was fun.
Well, here, you know what? By the way, we haven't done this in a while.
I know. And how much more fun is it doing it in fucking person?
It's so much better.
I'm
so excited because we're going to be doing someone very special tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we're doing it in person with this. You know what I mean? That we'll at least be together.
Yeah. I just can't wait till we can actually have guests back in the old living, or the old den.
Yeah, but by the way, we could probably do some outdoor social distancing Zoom.
It's just so different and so much more fun and connected, and you feel the thing.
I know.
I'm sick of Zoom. sorry, Zoom, didn't invest in your company.
I know.
I'm just sick. I'm sick.
Oh,
of
that's
Zoom.
Why you're sick of yeah. Zoom.
I'm over Zoom. I'm over it. I'm zoomed out.
I like the Zooms.
I'm zoomed out
because it
I'm
means that
I'm,
I don't
I'm
have to
zoomed.
Drive anywhere.
I know, but it's always cutting out, and it's fucking. I can't hear the delay, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's testing.
You're also already wishing you were on a golf course or fishing or doing mm-hmm. something.
I got back into golf.
I do want to say this, you know, before we leave, you know, my brother, you know, I asked if he could. We were shooting this with this cover of a magazine.
I was a cover model.
And Oliver, I called him because, you know, it was getting hard. The logistics were getting difficult. And everybody had to come up here. And there was no flights. And, you know, so I called Ollie and I'm like, hey, listen, you know, how would you feel about just coming down for one day doing the shoot? It would be easier for everybody. It would cost way less money. And
like,
and
nope.
he was literally about to go on a bike ride. He's like, ah, no. And I went, what? And he goes, no. I was like, what do you mean?
That's the bike ride I almost died on.
Yeah, which should have been, you should have called me right after that and said, yes, I will come. But no, it was a hard no.
No, hard no.
And I got off the phone and I was like, he would, like, you know, these things are important for, you know, getting people to know that we have our show out there and that we love doing this together and kind of creating whatever that brand is. These are things that you know, are yeah, important to, yeah. to being Oliver. It's just like, but
I'd have to drive 13 hours for one day and then drive back 13
I know,
hours.
But here's the question.
For the cover.
Here's my question.
I can be a cover model. I'm a cover model.
You knew I'd make it happen.
Yeah, but.
Because you know that's what I do.
But it was supposed to be up here, though. Anyway, we're supposed to do it up here. Hold on, and I now understand. Guess who's up here having the time of their fucking lives.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is this. If it was you alone on the cover of the magazine,
yeah.
would you have said...
It might be, by the way.
Would you have said, oh, fuck. All right, I got to go back to LA, guys.
No.
You're so full
no
of
way.
Shit.
No way. I would have said,
You're lying.
No.
Oliver, you would have not said no to a cover of a magazine by yourself.
No, I don't. I
oh
hate
my God,
that
you're
stuff.
Totally lying.
I swear to God, if they gave me a private plane or something.
Oh my God, you are so spoiled.
Yeah, fine.
You have no hustle.
I do. I don't want to hustle 13 hours, though, in my car to get home and then do a one photo shoot and then come back here. It's
well,
not worth it to
right,
me.
But you could just spend a couple days
cost
do
benefit
some work
analysis.
In LA. Do some work in LA. I mean,
no,
you could have made it.
Work in LA. It's burning up.
See, Ollie.
There's no work in
Ollie,
LA.
I'm glad we got this. I got that out. Okay. I'm glad I got that out.
Anyway, thanks for listening.
I was going to say, no, but what I really was going to say is love you. I love being here together.
I know, it's fun.
I love when the kids are so happy
I
together.
Know, that's the other
it's
thing.
The just
cousins
the best.
Are like, it's amazing. And, we're lucky. We're very fortunate.
And yeah, and that's
all right,
it.
Love you. See you tomorrow.
Till tomorrow.
Yep. Sibling Revelry is executive produced by Kate Hudson
and Oliver Hudson.
Producer is Allison Bresnik.
Editor is Josh Windisch.
Music by Mark Hudson, a.k.a. Uncle Mark.